The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome once again to another Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill. It's Monday, start of a new week, June the 18th. Of course, Royal Ascot dominating proceedings over this side of the Irish Sea throughout the week. And most of the jockeys, probably trainers, some of the owners will be over here enjoying the festivities at the Berkshire venue, no doubt. But we've got serious business to attend to prior to that extravaganza, which begins, of course, at 2:30 tomorrow, because we've got a pretty competitive and decent-looking card at the Cairns of Kildare venue. We've got listed action as well, of course, the Midsummer Sprint Stakes at 6:40 is their showpiece. But plenty of others races that certainly deserve our attention. And we begin with the two-yard contest at 5:40 over 5 furlongs. The standard bearer here, without a shadow of a doubt, is Willie McCreary's Lethal Promise, who has had a couple of runs so far to date. Both finishing runner-up, first time out behind one of nice horses, Jessica Harrington's, called Dandy's Ocean, who had the benefit of winning one of those barrier trials at Dundalk. And then she bumped into a horse who I think is Royal Ascot bound, possibly more likely for the Queen Mary, in the shape of Aidan O'Brien's Just Wonderful. Interestingly, that William McCreary's filly won the standside race. They split into two groups that day. Actually, I think you've got to upgrade the winner, because the standside was the quickest of the two parts of the track throughout the two-day fixture. But either way, this filly by Invincible Spirit still finished well clear of the rest. The time figure is pretty good, and given that she's got the number one stall here to make all the running if she sits fit to do so on that far side rail, she should take plenty of a beating here tonight. On to the second race then, which comes up at 6:10. This is a filly's handicap over the minimum distance. And I'm quite keen here on Aspen Bell, who's been a little bit unlucky on her last two starts, but generally speaking, she's running to a consistent level. Her defeat at Sligo two starts back was put down to the fact she almost made too much use of herself in the early part of the race. And similar comments were available for her last one as well at Listowel, when she was off in front and rowing her own boat from a very early stage, only to get picked off late on. I think connections have probably drew stumps on running over beyond 6 furlongs. And I think it's a wise move to bring her back to 5. She's already won over the course and distance towards the back end of last season, albeit on a softer surface. She does go on good ground, not a problem with that at all. She's just a very, very fast and informed mare at the moment. She's certainly got the time figures and the numbers and the form to win a race of this nature. I'd certainly have a half a look at Dandy Van Porter, who ran well at Cork yesterday, having set the running, but once again, didn't quite get home. I think the drop back to 5 furlongs will definitely suit her. And she comes out of a race at Navan on the 2nd of June, which is beginning to work out well, kindly, one for the Johnny Levin stable out of that race the other day. But I'm going to stick with Aspen Bell. She's in great form. I think she'll get a hold at ride here tonight, and hopefully her stamina can come through on the stiff hill uphill climb in the latter stages. On to the big race of the night then, which is the Midsummer Sprint Stakes, listed status at 6:40. And I'm a big fan of Darley, the three-year-old by Scat Daddy, who has hit the bar in its last couple of runs. It was a big eye catch at the Curra two starts to go behind Patuana when finishing its race off strongly after a slow beginning. Jumped out of the stalls much better last time out, but unfortunately came up against a very tough individual, Blue Uluru, who drifted up towards the near side rail, and that was very much the place to be at the Curra on that two-day meeting. I think it was an advantage for Dewey Lyons' charge to come towards the stand side rail, whereas Darley stayed on the far side. You take the winner out and he would have won that race comfortably. Obviously a strongly run stiff 5 furlong suits him, which he's going to get tonight. And there are plenty of front runners in this race as well, including Brick by Brick, to send them along at a good gallop. So hopefully the strong finishing Darley can come into his own in the back end of that race. On to the 7:10, another 5 furlong handicap. A couple that stand out here are the running into form King of Luxor, who up to now has yet to win a race, and Koto, who's very much on the slippery slope down the handicap, but I think she dropped into a race where she can win. King of Luxor will deal with him first. He's first sprung to prominence with a good third at Navan on the 2nd of June in a very competitive handicap, and he backed that up with another good run at the same track the other day. Just the low draw did him that day. They all came at the stand rail and he was marooned a little bit towards the far side, but he's got a good draw tonight. And Ben Cohen, who's one of the most promising apprentices in this race, gets a leg up. The other one to mention, as I said, is the top one here, Koto. It was a decent horse in the day, and she was a winner off the marks in the low 70s. She runs off 64 here. She's been dropping down, and she's gone into a 0-65 handicap for the first time for a while. And it was a really good effort by her the other day. She was slowly weighing away in what turned out to be a very strongly run race, won by Nick Bay. That horse has run well since in a better race at the Curragh. And Kindly, who was eighth, has won since as well. So I think it was a decent effort by Mickey Tinnan's six-year-old mare. On top of that, she also raced on the far side rail, which was definitely not the place to be. So I've upgraded her performance. And she's had a bit of back at 8-1. So I'd probably have a couple of bets in this race. King of Luxor, around about 6-1. And Koto, top price, 8-1 there in the 7-10. On to the 7:40, not a particularly strong race here. The fact that Captain Vancouver is a fairly warm order tells you all you need to know. He's had four runs already and he's run up to a fair standard without really hitting the ball out of the park. His best run came last time out on his seasonal reappearance when, in the first time visor, he cut out the running until getting picked off late on by one of Fozzie Stacks. And the time figure and the form of that race looks fairly solid in the context of this race. But obviously, there are a couple of other horses in this race that we don't know much about other than they're trained by two of the most powerful yards in the Irish Isles. And that, of course, is Curly from the Aine O'Brien stable and Kissinger from the Dermot Wealdstone. And it probably puts me off having a strong choice in this race. I'm probably just going to say Captain Vancouver, with a good break from a low stall with his experience, might just have a little bit more tactical nous this evening against the two fillies. But at the same token, it wouldn't surprise me if they were good enough, because like I say, it isn't a particularly strong race. On to the 8-10 then, and I'm going to go with Magwadiri here. This horse was a big eye catcher for me several times last year when he was trained by Paul Deegan, subsequently been picked up by Jessica Harrington. And she made no mistake with her new acquisition first time at Roscommon the other day, when always travelling well, this horse picked up the running with a couple of furlongs to run, and he had to be nudged out in the latter stages to get the better of Admiralty. They were well clear of the informed mare Full Shilling. The time figure was good, and now that this horse has probably found its form, I'm prepared to go with it again. He just looks a nice type, and I've always thought he was better than his handicap mark, and hopefully he can prove me right going forward. Danger, well, that looks like it's going to come from mainly Dance Alone from the informed Damien English stable, of course, won with Geological at Limerick on Saturday. And this horse has been running really consistently well of late. I think the drop back to Seven Fernals will suit him better than the extending mile he's been trying to tackle. And he's got that useful £10 claimer on as well, Stephen Mooney. But Magwadiri is the choice. On to the final race then, the 8:40. One of the most important races with regards to form coming into this race is that race at Limerick, which was won by Queen Rabab on Saturday. Now, Queen Rabab was drawn in stall one, had the blinkers on for the first time. She duly obliged. Now, it's going to be slightly different tonight. She hasn't been slapped across the wrist with a bad draw here tonight. She's drawn in stall six. But the main point of that performance in that race by Pushak, who managed to finish fifth, he was drawn 14. Now, Pushak has got a much better draw tonight in stall two, and I think that could make the difference between them turning around the form. And I fancy Anthony McCann's five-year-old here, despite top weight. He'd run really well in a race which is working out incredibly well at the time before at Leopardstown, the likes of Dan Salone, Mr. Ormsby, Ice Cold in Alex, Geological, of course, who won since, Migas Flan, who's won since. They've all either won or finished placed out of that race. It was a good time figure, and I do like the way that Pushag kept on well from the back of the field. Because he was a mile behind the other day because of his draw. He raced down the middle of the track on the unfavourable slow part of the course, and he still managed to only get beat bits and bobs by the winner. So he was top price 8-1 this morning, Pushak. I thought that was a big price considering what he did the other day. I'd probably make him close to favourite here. Put it this way, wherever Queen Rabab finishes, Pushak simply has to be there or thereabouts. And under that basis, I make him a really strong each-way choice at top morning odds. Thanks very much for listening to this edition then of the Irish Racing Podcast. Obviously, Royal Ascot takes centre stage throughout the week, but that doesn't mean to say that we rest on our laurels here at William Hill with the Irish Racing Podcast, because we've got action all the way through the week over there in the Emerald Isle. At Sligo, of course, tomorrow, 7 races for you on the flat, beginning at 5:50. So hopefully you can tune in for me for that. Until then, it's bye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.